Hello, and welcome to Wargaming Recon. Today we have a very special episode for you, which I know I say all the time, but this time it's extra true, because we have a special guest. Her name is Angela, and she is the media director for Total Confusion, which is a fantastic gaming convention here in New England. Angela, how are you?
I'm very good, and thank you for the wonderful intro. Oh,
it's true. I gotta tell everyone that for, I guess, the past 3 years, I have wanted to go to TotalCon and get involved with it. And I had kind of talked about it for even a few years before that, but I didn't start going until I started talking with you online. And you've been really supportive of the show here. So the last year for TotalCon 25, I made sure I would go because you were just so wonderful and nice online. And then again, came this year for TotalCon 26. So I got to say, I give you all the credit for that.
Oh, thank you. I do try to emphasize our gaming community and supporting each other, so I think that's a great thing.
So I ask, like, every guest on here a few questions that are kind of just, you know, they're a given. I ask everyone, and then I have, like, other kind of topics that I like to talk about with people, and I try to gear them towards, you know, what you do and everything. But I just like to chat with the guests and just make it feel like, you know, we're having a cup of coffee and just having some conversation and everything. Okay. But one of the questions I ask everyone is, do you happen to listen to, like, any podcasts or radio? And, like, which ones do you listen to? And do you happen to remember what the first one might be that you gave a listen?
Actually, the first one I ever gave a listen to was the Dice Tower. And I keep up on that fairly regularly just because they do a lot of the new games and they review them and stuff like that. And I think that they're fairly accurate. I've also listened to our own podcast that Peter Bryant has started for us, just so I can actually hear some of the cool panels and things that happen at TotalCon that I don't get to see. And now I'm starting to listen to the Carnage one, and every once in a while I'll sneak a peek at other ones when they review Total Confusion.
It must keep you really busy trying to stay abreast of who's saying what about the con. And,
yes,
you know, what they're saying, and then, you know, resharing that if necessary and so forth.
Absolutely, the good and the bad.
I hope it's mostly good.
Actually, the last few years, yeah, it's been really, really decent. So I have no complaints. But if there's no room for improvement, you know, if we don't hear any of the complaints, then we can't get better. So I listen to that as well, you know. I don't run from it.
In my line of work, I work for a public library. And, you know, we solicit customer feedback because we always want to grow. And I almost think that maybe the areas that have some constructive criticism are even more important than
Yes. The
areas that people are like, oh, you're so awesome, we love you. Because, I mean, it's true, but you like to know what else you could do better so you can grow.
Absolutely. That is, I believe that very firmly. And we had one guest of honor last year that said we had set the standard for guest of honor treatment, and I wanted to know exactly what it was he thought we were doing that was good so I could repeat it, because I don't know still to this day what he meant by that, but I hope we're keeping it up.
That's wonderful. So you were saying that you do love to play games, but you're not really an avid gamer?
No, I'm not. I started out playing D&D way back in the 80s, like 1985, with a boyfriend who was into D&D. I play occasional card games and board games and stuff like that, but not on a super regular basis. We do have a gaming group at my house, but that's mostly for the guys. I don't know why I don't get into it more, except I'm very, very busy at this particular point in time in my life.
Yep.
And I actually find that it helps me in my job not to be too attached to one particular game. So I'm willing to listen to anybody and bring it all in instead of having a bias, you know, towards one genre of gaming.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite game, though?
Right now, I'm particularly enjoying The Mansions of Madness.
What's the game about? What type of game?
It's an Arkham Horror. It's an Arkham Horror-based board game.
Okay.
That we're playing over here, and It's just a lot of fun. I tend to like a lot of the Arkham Horror, Lovecraft type things. I'm a horror fan as well as a gaming fan. Anything like that kind of catches my interest.
Well, I mean, that's fitting because Lovecraft is from, well, centric to Rhode Island. And why don't you say how you got started with TotalCon?
It happened a few years ago. My then husband started as the young player director. He's still there. He still does the young player area. And we started having meetings, hosting meetings at the house. And I'd hang around and say, well, why don't you try this? And how come you don't do that? And eventually they looked at me and said, why don't you walk the walk instead of talking the talk? So I stepped up to the plate, first just behind the scenes doing database stuff. And as I got more involved and more comfortable, I decided to take on a more active role, implement some of the changes that I wanted to see. And since then, it's just been a joy, and I really enjoy it. It gives me a chance to release my creative energies and meet a lot of really cool people. So I'm still doing it.
As a media director, like what does a media director do? Like if you were to write a job description saying like this is what you do, what would it say?
Well, I do take care of the various media. I help design the flyers and print materials. I maintain the website. I actually had redesigned it like 3 or 4 years ago. I maintain the Facebook page, Twitter, MySpace, and all those type of things. But it also extends into PR as well, because I contact the industry guests, I book them, I help get them to the site. I also handle the vendor area, exhibitors, and on site, I actually run the green room. And this year I was doing focused attention, which somebody else did last year, which is basically going around during sessions to make sure our industry guests are okay if they need any drinks or snacks or anything like that. So I actually saw a convention, Council Five Nations, list for jobs that they wanted, and they had broken it down, my job, into like 12 different people. And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that I did that much until you actually stop and think about it. But I enjoy it, so it's not a problem.
It sounds like it must be very rewarding and also interesting with all the different areas that you have to keep abreast of.
Yeah, I've started going out to some of the national events now, for networking and stuff like that. And it's just been an incredible journey being able to meet some of the people. I mean, somebody who's not a super avid gamer to suddenly know Tim Kask, Tom Vassell, Frank Mensa, it's awesome. No other word.
Have there been any one or maybe a few guests that you've come across at Total Con or another con and you've just been like starstruck by them?
Yeah, well, I was very starstruck by Tim and Frank at first. Now I'm starting to know them better, and I still think that it's really cool. I walk around my phone, I have them, listed here. It's kind of geek gold, but Frank Mentzer introduced me to Ed Greenwood
Okay.
at Gen Con, and I was just like, wow. He looks like a big woolly mammoth, for God's sake. He's huge, big beard, the fuzzy hair and everything. But just to meet another, old school guy like that, who's been around forever, that's amazing to me. I keep using amazing, but
Do you know what? If amazing fits, I say keep
yeah.
using it.
A lot of the guys are just they're very easy to talk to. They like to talk. They're game masters, A lot of interesting stories. They make me laugh.
Well, I mean, that's good because I think it makes them very approachable that way.
It does, and I've heard some horror stories about some guests of honor, but I've yet to encounter one yet.
In my limited experience with Total Con, last year, I gotta say, I was kind of. Well, as I've told you, I feel like I'm kind of introverted and shy, and the podcast medium kind of allows me to do get beyond that without really going beyond that. But at TotalCon last year, I went to a few of the panels, which I love. I think they're one of the strong points from the con, and seeing all the industry guests up there, it was really interesting because it was a more intimate setting to hear what they have to say. But like afterwards, people were going up and talking to them, and I thought to myself, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I could go up to whoever and be like, hey, how are you? I like what you're doing or whatever. But I felt like a little intimidated, but like this year a little less so and stuff. So, and it wasn't them. I mean, they're very approachable. It was, all me in my head and stuff, but they are very approachable people, that you've been getting at the cons.
Yeah, like I said, we've been very lucky. All of them are willing to talk to you. So at any time, if you want to set up interviews, I can hook you up.
Hey, do you know what? That would be awesome. I think my listeners would love some fantastic interviews with some of the big names out there.
Yep.
That would be awesome. With TotalCon, what would your
Yes.
intended audience happen to be?
Gamers. 100% gamers. There's very little fandom elements at Total Confusion, which is, I think, what sets us apart. We're not a fan con. So when we say we're one of the largest game conventions, that's exactly what it is. It's tabletop game and all the different genres that that encompasses. So if you love card games, board games, miniature games, you know, that's our target audience right there.
I've noticed a strong RPG vibe at Total Con, more so than the very few other cons that I've attended. It seems like people who go to Total Con have been interested in like D&D and other forms of RPGs from like way back in the day. It seems like that thread kind of keeps on getting carried through.
Yeah, I really believe that we have the strongest and largest role-playing event in the New England area at this time. We have one of the largest RPGA and Pathfinder exploded this year. We actually had to turn people away because we didn't have table space, which is something I hadn't anticipated, but which was awesome. And a lot of independent guys that bring in things like Call of Cthulhu and GURPS and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of players out there that know Total Con is the place for exceptional.
Now, in your role as media director, I'm sure there are things that you have to do that maybe are a little more difficult than others and some that are a little more easier. What would those kind of things be?
The more difficult aspects are going out there and just pitching yourself to the larger companies when you're a smaller convention that you actually have value to them. You know, for all the things I send out for prize support and sponsorships, you get to hear the word no a lot or just plain out get ignored. So that's the most difficult thing. The easiest thing is actually connecting with the players and the industry guests. They pretty much respond very well. It's the big game companies. You know, we may be smaller than the large trade shows, but I think we have an audience that they could target.
That's a shame because, I mean, there's a lot of bigger companies out there, people like Wizards of the Coast or, you know, Games Workshop, for example, and I think they're missing out, but at the same time, it really allows those larger, smaller companies, rather, to shine, and I think it creates a more intimate and friendly atmosphere. Like, I feel that it makes it, people feel like they're, you know, they're getting to meet the person who runs the company or made the game or whatever, and they feel that one-on-one connection, which they might not get as much as if, say, someone came and was like, oh, I'm head of marketing for D&D for, you know, fifth edition coming out or whatever.
That is true. I do enjoy that, and I've said that I actually enjoy the smaller cons that are in the area for that exact reason. There's a much more personal connection. I just wish, like I said, some of the bigger guys would at least, they don't have to come, but support us. You know, we're there, you know, working your products to our best of our ability. So with their exact target audience.
That's true. I mean,
it is what it is.
Now, like you had mentioned, there are other cons in New England. Yes. I would say quite a few. I can think of, well, I mean, there's you guys, there's Temple, Havoc, Huzzah, PAX East. Like, how does having so many cons in such a relatively small area kind of impact you guys?
It's not too bad, actually. And there's more than that. We attend OGC. We attend Carnage, which is up in Vermont as well. Every con seems to have its own speciality. And matter of fact, you're probably not aware, but in New England, we're a very segmented group where we could probably have like a mini Dragon Con right in Boston if everybody actually merged, because there's Aresia, which is a fandom, the fantasy fandom mm-hmm. con right in the end of January. TempleCon, wait for the Privateer Press and Steampunk. Then there's us, which is heavy around gaming. And Boscone, right in between Temple and TotalCon, is Boscone, which is a sci-fi convention with a lot of the authors and stuff like that. Then right after us is Anime Boston and Havoc. And then you run into Huzzah and PAX East and stuff like that. So a lot of the cons do very well, but they're all segmented. So we've managed to find our niches and we run from there. And the other conventions that go off on the other side of the year actually are just wonderful ways to reconnect with your friends during the year.
I think it's nice that, you know, a person might say have a really strong interest in anime, and then they can go to Anime Con, but maybe they also have that secondary interest just in gaming, and then they can go to Total Con too. So that way they kind of get their fill of a little of each, whereas if they just went to a one gigantic con that had everything, you're not going to be able to fit all of that in whatever the time period is that you have.
No, you can't. I realize that having been a Gen Con for a few years now. I have to kind of pick and choose what I want the most. But yeah, we have a really nice community out here. And a lot of the conventions actually work together. We support each other. So I find that wonderful. Oh, I should also mention Connecticon, which is a pop culture out in July that I hope to get to this year.
If I remember correctly, one of the industry guests is a director of, is it gaming at that?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm remembering correctly?
Yeah, James Carpio. He used to be the head of gaming over at Icon, and he moved, so now he's helping the Connecticon guys.
That's really exciting. And it's nice to hear that all the cons kind of, like, everyone realizes you're in the same boat together.
Yep. And I appreciate a lot of them, I have to say. I like going to their cons because that's where I get to relax.
Yeah, you must be so busy with TotalCon, not only like preparing for it, but like actually at it, that you're just doing all the work and everything, that you don't really get to be like, hey, look at this, and have a little bit of fun.
That's absolutely true. I get up at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
I start running the green room for the VIPs and staff, and then I usually don't go to bed till 1:30 after I hit some of the, you know, after hour parties and stuff like that I get invited to. For the industry guests want to see me, so I go and socialize and stuff. So at 4 days after that, I crash.
Oh geez, that's a very long day.
You'd be surprised, most of the senior staff actually pull that kind of schedule.
I gotta say, everyone at the con isn't exactly like, say, teenagers anymore. So it's amazing.
Nope.
that I mean, I when I was at TotalCon this time, 9 o'clock, 9:30, I was like, it's late. I'm tired. I need to go.
Yeah, we have a case of 5-hour energy shots in a way. But you learn to adjust. Now I just walk around with one drink in my hand as I socialize. I don't actually partake. It just looks that way. This year, I wore my heels just during high volume times when a lot of industry guests and exhibitors were coming in, you know, to give that professional look. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I just kicked right back to my sneakers to, you know, that's concrete we're walking on.
Oh, absolutely.
After a while, your feet and your knees hurt. Luckily, we have some volunteers that help us so we can sneak away for naps and stuff like that. But yeah, we all pull tremendous hours when we're on site. We don't get to have fun at our own convention other than watching everybody else have fun.
Yeah, as part of getting ready for our interview today, I put out on, you know, different social media feeds to followers of the show, and I asked them about any questions they might have. I said, you know, we're going to have this awesome guest, and feel free to ask anything, and I will pick the good questions, and I might allow some of those on the air. So one of the individuals, who you actually know quite well, had a few questions. And so I'm going to be asking them on his behalf.
Okay.
So
a little nervous about this, but go for it.
I heard there's a story involving an infamous Diet Mountain Thunder. What would this happen to be?
First year that Ben Gerber came in, he was unaware that we stocked a special cooler just for our industry guests with the premium label stuff, and he saw it and he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. He actually has a picture that he uses sometimes as his Facebook icon. Yes, and he absolutely loved it. It happened that I had a limited budget, you know, the first couple of years to stock the green room. So I went to the local Sam's Club and picked up the cheapo stuff that I could buy to make sure that everybody was, you know, fed and watered. And he actually loved it. And it turns out my kids, and because our children come, that's part of the feeding, and other people like it. And it's a tradition now. So I cannot not have it at the convention anymore.
I saw the picture a while back, and I saw everyone had commented online about this picture and how hilarious it was. And I'm thinking, it's a picture of Ben with some soda. I was like, I don't get what's so funny about it. And I didn't find out, actually, until recently when he was trying to explain the story to me. And he's like, I'm going to ask Angela, so it'll be on your show. And I'm like, okay, put it on.
The Dr. Thunder. Yes. It's true. The marketing for those cheap sodas, it's funny. They try to make it sound like the real deal, but at the same time, not. So he loved it. And this year, he didn't go back to the premium cooler for the real deal, let me tell you. He went right for the Dr. Thunder. So
I guess the real question is, I wonder if he's stocking it at home.
That I don't know. I wonder if he even knows where I get it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, he will after this goes live.
That's true.
So he also had another question, and this one is more serious, and I think it's a fantastic question. How many staff members and volunteers does it take to make TotalCon a success?
Presently, we have 6 senior staff, and then we have about 19 volunteers, and that's it. That's all we're rolling with. There are smaller conventions that actually have more than that, so that's probably why we work as long and as hard as we do.
That's, to use your word, that's amazing to me. I mean, that's not very many people, and you guys do quite a good job with the number of people.
Thank you. But this year, after we've all had a chance to rest, we're going to revisit, since we've grown so much, about trying to, you know, diversify a little bit more and, you know, see if we can bring in some more help, because it is, you know, once you hit 1,000, there's a lot more to be done and a lot more people to look out for. So it becomes overwhelming versus, you know, 500. So we'll get there. We, the goal is to keep the quality.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
If someone was interested in, you know, trying to become part of that TotalCon family by being some sort of staff member or volunteer, like, what do they need to do that? Or is that something you guys will have to flesh out?
No, actually, we have a volunteer registration form on the website, and it's under volunteers. And we take people in, and if they do really well, then we ask them to become an associate. And at the associate level, you give them more responsibilities. And if you can handle the deadlines and perform without having to be constantly prodded, I think it's a year or 2 years worth of associate staff status, and then the senior staff will vote if the person performed well enough to come on as a senior, because as a senior staff, you actually buy into the convention and have a voting share.
Oh, wow.
As to what goes on. So that's how it rolls.
That's actually pretty interesting. And it's almost like people who volunteer, if they do want to become more involved with the con, like there's this sort of apprenticeship set up.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not just going to hand over, you know, a lot of the stuff to somebody that's untested or who may not know a convention mentality. It's easy to run some tournaments and stuff at a game store. It's another thing to run a convention. It's a little bit different.
I know when I had talked with you previously, you mentioned that you guys used to have an individual who basically just kind of focused on minis, and that
yes.
You've lost that.
Yes.
What, if anything, are you guys trying to do to get that back? Or do you feel that you even need to have someone who's basically their sole responsibility is kind of overlooking the minis department, so to speak?
I would love to have a minis person. Actually, the man who did it actually had to step down. He's still there. He's an associate now. But, you know, he's has other obligations now, so he isn't able to give his full time.
Mm-hmm.
To it, but having a dedicated minis person who's in the community that can bring in players and can bring in quality games is absolutely essential. Miniatures is one of our areas that's lagging, and I think that's due to not having a dedicated person. I mean, we have our events that people come for that they absolutely love that are established, like Monster Smash and Car Wars and Battletech, but I'd like to see a little bit more diversity. We put out feelers in the community, and right now, I think we're just a little bit limited because our space limitations for larger tournaments. But there could be some more quality miniature games in there that maybe aren't super huge, but, you know, can offer some people a little bit more choice.
I had, as you know, had run a minis game, and not just me. I actually got to give lots of credit to my friends Adrian and Court, who did tons of work. They were amazing in making it a success, and we were really concerned beforehand that, you know, no one would come, and that, I mean, it was our first time, and that, you know, we'd show up and we'd have everything and we'd be there and then there'd be nobody and then we'd have to pack up and give up the space.
Yeah.
And it turned out that wasn't the case. But part of why we think things went so well for us was that we were running a historical war game with miniatures, and that there really weren't anything else there that kind of filled that role, and that maybe people who were sort of interested in that said, hey, I like this, and this is my one chance to do it here at the con.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just brings home the point of having somebody there that can bring in that diversity so we could have more broad appeal to a wide range of miniature fans.
I was speaking with an individual who is in charge of an area gaming club, and they do lots of historical war games. They've run events at other conventions, Huzzah and Historicon, and I'm not sure if they've done Cold Wars as well, but he had remarked that, I guess in the past, and I'm not sure how long ago it was, but in the past, I guess, that they've tried running some historical games at Totalcon, and that things didn't do as well as they would have liked, but based on what we were saying about our game, that he's hoping that their gaming club can start doing events at Totalcon. I know they've won all sorts of awards at Historicon, and their stuff's amazing. I gotta say, they're fantastic. So I'm hoping he actually follows through with that, and that, you know, for next year, that maybe they'll be running a few events.
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful. Because we have TempoCon just before us, and they're a huge privateer press and 40K event, and then Havoc comes along the end of March, April, there's a sort of a gap for that genre of miniature games. You know, there's not a lot of historical represented in that time frame unless you want to, you know, hoof it down south. So it would be nice. And like I said, I have not cracked the code for miniature players yet. They are the bane of my existence at this point. I don't talk mini talk. I can talk to the role players, the board game players. I don't know what it is, but when I do my advertising and my promos for miniature guys, I don't know why, and I have not given up. I refuse to give up. But I think if we had somebody there that was more dedicated and went to the different events and stuff like that, and I could talk to him and find out what it is that appeals to them and would make them want to come, it would work so much better.
We're an odd breed of people.
You are. I got to tell you a horrible story. My very first year, and somebody gave me a sheet. They were running a 40K tournament, and I had no idea about point systems and stuff, and there was nothing on the flyer he gave me. So I went around, and I saw other people saying points, points, and I'm like, we had this wonderful tournament. It's no points. And I'm like, and after, it wasn't until afterwards, and they told me, you know, no, this is not how it runs, and this is what we were actually doing. And I'm like, oh, man. And, you know, I went everywhere. Just posting like a, you know, a clueless little girl. And I learned a lot that first year. I still haven't quite reached that level where I'd like to be with the miniature players.
Well, do you know what? It's extra confusing with miniatures, too, because like with games like Warhammer Fantasy and 40K and Hordes and Flames of War and War Machine and stuff like that, you have points that you use. But then when you get into, like, say, a lot of the historical war games, if you're using like some of the new rule sets like Black Powder or a Saga, or I guess just a lot of the historical ones, you don't use points at all. You just kind of create whatever it is you want to create, and then you play that. You don't say, oh, this group of guys is, you know, 10 points, and you get a tank here that's 40 points, and you need 500 points in order to play. This is what you got. And so I like, for someone who doesn't know, it would be very easy to confuse the two.
Yep. So we'll see. But I can tell you one thing in my experience, and this is true of all engines, our miniatures events, even our small offering, trumps anything I've seen at Gen Con, because they're local. Mm-hmm. They do more custom terrains. Gen Con, I was so disappointed to see these setups with the cardboard, and it was, you know, it's just terrible green felt and everything. And I'm like, I was going there and I'm like, wow, I'm going to get blown away. And I was so underwhelmed. And the guys on the local in New England, they do such a fantastic job with some of the stuff they put out. You know, I went to Huzzah the first year it was there. Mm-hmm. I saw a Gettysburg set up, because I've actually been to Gettysburg.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing, absolutely amazing to me. And, you know, I've seen pictures from TempoCon of their privateer press stuff, and it's gorgeous. And Carnage has a great great miniatures event with some really cool setups too. And I loved our giant monster. It was like nothing cooler. And we had this one guy, Tom Ballou, who used to do zombies on Route 66. It was just this fun, fast game. But you just can't get better than that. You really can't. You don't get that. I'm sure like at Historicon and stuff, you know, the guys bring out the good stuff, but nothing like our local folks. They do an awesome job.
I think maybe even more than the rules and maybe even more than who you're playing against, I think the table and the terrain makes or breaks a minis game.
Yeah.
I've seen, you know, some stores run, say, like 40K tourneys, and you can tell, like, if they really understand 40K and if they really understand how tourneys work, just based on what terrain they have, how they have it placed, and what it looks like. There's a store who actually was a sponsor this year for TotalCon, Battleground Games and Hobbies.
Yep.
And they put tons of effort into their tourneys. They spend hours, like the night before, the day before, the day of, walking around, analyzing every single table, making sure they have just enough, but not too much, and just making sure it's the right kind of terrain. And it's nice to see that, because I know not every place does that.
Yep. And this year we actually had a new group, the Crusaders, come in, and they started making some custom terrain to bring to TotalCon. So I'm hoping that the quality will improve for the 40K as we go on.
That's good. 40K is a big market, and tapping into that can only bring success.
Yep. So like I said, I want a wide range because I know where we're situated, and you know, I think there's room for improvement. There's some games that we can offer that some of the other conventions might not, and to fill a niche.
Mm-hmm. So I have another question from a listener. And it's a good question, but a little bit off the beaten track. They want to know, Han Solo or Malcolm Reynolds?
Han Solo. Anytime, any day. And for that matter, Captain Kirk as well.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. He was actually my first crush in life was Captain Kirk. I was a geek right from the get-go.
See, most people I know would definitely have picked Picard over him. Or Sisko, maybe.
Oh, God, no. Picard is too in love with his prime directive there. I like the cowboys that shoot from the hip.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So when you guys pick, or maybe you don't pick, maybe you just kind of have a pool and you see who responds, but when you try to choose the industry guests that are going to come to TotalCon, how does that work?
Well, we try to appeal to our audience. You know, that's why we brought in some of the old school D&D guys. Board games has really taken off, so that's why we started to get Tom Vassell. And a few years ago, we did have a couple of mini guys. God, if I can remember his name, it's been like 5 years now when minis was a little bit bigger. So if things improve in other areas, we will target those industry guests as well. You know, we want to give something to everybody so that they feel like they're getting a quality experience at the convention.
You guys have been at Mansfield for a while as a location for the con. Why yeah. Mansfield?
Mansfield is pretty centrally located. We're like 30 minutes from Boston and 20 minutes from Providence. It doesn't get better than that. And it's right off Route 95. You know, everybody in New England knows 95, you know, and can find it. So it's very easy. It fit the needs. A lot of people like the one spot fits everything, and up to multiple hotels and stuff like that. And they had the space we needed for the halls and stuff.
How long have you guys been using the Holiday Inn in Mansfield?
I think it's going on close to 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Since 2003.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. And they've always worked with us, and as we've grown, they've helped us expand, you know, and they've been a really nice hotel. They're very accommodating. A few hotels, you know, you'll be with them for a couple of years, and then they start switching up the contracts on you and charging more, but they've been very, very good to us.
That's really good to know. Before the Holiday Inn, where were you guys located for the con?
The Ramada Rolling Green in Andover, Mass.
Oh, wow.
Is where we were. I believe that's the one that actually they had to leave because it was getting torn down.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and before that was Royal Plaza in Marlboro, but there were a few issues with that site. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you guys have kind of been all over the state, on the North Shore, the Central Mass, and now on the South Shore.
We go where there's room and where it's affordable. You know, you have to keep it reasonable for your attendees too, you know?
Yeah, one of the panels I attended was Horror Stories from the Con, and the issue came up about gamers having a stereotype of poor cleanliness.
Yep.
And someone had mentioned that they think that maybe the reason about that is that gamers feel like if they go to like something like Gen Con, that, you know, they're driving all that distance and paying like tons and tons of money to go to the con and this and that, and so they're trying to basically maximize their dollar, where like maybe a larger con like that is less affordable for them, so they might have this different mentality, whereas something like TotalCon is definitely within your budget, whether you want to go for the whole weekend or you want to go for like the day. Most people should be able to afford something like that.
Yeah, we do try to keep it reasonable. And, it is a stereotype. I don't find it as bad as some people make it out to be, the gamer funk. really. And the same thing, that we're all nerds. No, I know some lawyers. I know some doctors. I know, you know what I mean? Authors. It just runs the gamut. I'm a human service professional by really my real job, the one that pays the bills. You know, okay. I hate it when they stereotype people like that, because we're actually a really cool group of people.
I got to say, I think gamers are perhaps one of the most accepting groups of people I've ever had to deal with in my life.
Yes.
I think that probably has to do with the fact that to some degree, and if you look at it from whatever angle, that most of us either view ourselves at or have been viewed as, at some point, as outcasts. So I think we know what it's like to be shunned and don't like other people to be shunned. We want everyone to kind of, you know, be involved and be part of the group and have a good time.
Yep. And my personal perspective, it's only my personal opinion, but I find most gamers to be, you know, I mean, there are some that are maybe a little socially awkward, but for the most part, very intelligent, very creative, able to think outside the box. And that's why I really enjoy hanging with the crowd that I do.
I know, in addition to actually running the con, that you guys have done like gamer events at different locations across New England, and game stores is, in particular. How did that get started?
A couple of years ago, like I said, I came on, and my big thing is community. So we decided that as part of that, we would try to help support other local conventions and other stores. You know, you go in, you bring a couple of gamers, you play some games, hopefully people buy some product at the store, get higher visibility. You know, the brick and mortar stores are having tough times of late. You know, everybody says that they can find things cheaper on the internet. So we want to really support them as much as we can and bring some business their way. And it helps us too, gets our name out as well, you know, where it might not have been before. So, you know, when we work together, everybody benefits.
I've been going to Battleground Games and Hobbies since shortly after they've opened. And I've noticed over the years that they routinely have, you know, cards or flyers or information for TotalCon. And I've got to say, I think it has to be because of, you know, maybe events that you guys have done nearby, or from people there just going to the con and seeing how good it is and how good it is for the New England gaming community.
I certainly hope so. And they've been wonderful, I have to say, the last couple of years, you know, letting us go into the store like that. And this year they actually sponsored us. So I can't say enough positive things about them. Good taste. They got really good taste.
I feel a little bad and guilty, I guess, because one of the ways that I keep the podcast afloat and the blog afloat is by having some sort of sponsorship. Because, I mean, this sort of stuff, it's not as expensive as running a con, but it's not exactly cheap. And the main sponsorship is a company I love. They're fantastic, but it's an online vendor. And yeah. So I feel, you know, a little bit bad that it's not like a brick and mortar store, which I would love to have something, especially something in New England. But I try to, you know, talk up the local areas as much as possible. And I don't know what impact that might have, but I like to think that, you know, maybe someone heard me say, oh, this is a fantastic store, you can get this game at your local game store, and that maybe they actually go to the local game store and pick up, you know, whatever it is I was talking about, and then give a little bit of business to that location.
I absolutely think it does help. You know, it never hurts. Free publicity never hurts.
So, I'm just scrolling through my list of questions. We've actually talked about quite a few of them, which is good to know. We've been talking for a while, and we've hit a lot of the high points. So I'm going to go to something that I ask everyone, and it's not really gaming related. It's kind of just something I guess I give credit to this to Inside the Actors Studio. I don't know if you've ever watched that at all.
I have caught it once or twice, but not in depth enough to know what you might be asking me.
So in the show, you know, he gets like actors and actresses and whoever. And he has all these different questions, and he'll ask things like, oh, what's your favorite swear word? And like, if God actually exists and you go to wherever God happens to be, what do you want God to say or whatever? But one of the ones he likes to ask, and I actually think it's pretty pertinent to people who've come on the show, is if you could do anything without worry of finances, what would you do with your life?
God, that is a very good question. One of the things I would be a perpetual student. I absolutely love learning. I love asking why. It's my favorite question in life. And I think that's one of the things that ties into this job, because I get to poke around so much at different conventions, look at different panels, read about new games, that I'm constantly learning new things. And that makes me very happy. So I think that would be it. And I would continue to do my day job, actually. I work with clients who are mentally and physically ill, and I 24 years into the job, and I still love working with them.
That must be really a rewarding experience for you.
Rewarding, yes. Can be very stressful at times as well. But no, they've given me a lot, actually, over the years, you know. And just to walk in and see somebody so happy to see you and to be able to share a few things with them each day is pretty special. And I just like taking care of people, so that helps. I don't regret my choice of career.
One of my coworkers has a brother-in-law who has autism, and she doesn't get to see him very often. But whenever she does, like at holidays or whatever, she always says that she takes away quite a bit from him. That he teaches her so much that she's surprised by. And like, he has a strong affinity for music and like TV shows, I guess, in particular. But like, when they get together and, you know, they're having the meal or whatever, and he has, you know, limited interaction because of his autism. But that, something will just click, and then she ends up like learning something new about herself. And like, she'll come to work like the day after, whatever, and be like, guess what so-and-so did? And then she's like all excited. She takes so much away from it. And she just she finds it very rewarding and enriching.
Yeah, I do too. They like I said, they have given me a lot. They continually surprise me with what they can do. And when they have somebody that's there that they know and they trust, they're willing to venture a little bit more every day to try something new. And that's very rewarding. I wouldn't have traded it for anything. I believe it's a calling, really. You know, the long-termers, we're there because we love the job. We love the folks.
I think it takes a very special type of person to do that line of work.
I most of the time when I tell people, they automatically put a little halo on my head. Special, but it's just something that I happen to particularly enjoy.
Well, let's see. At this point, I guess I just have a few more questions. But before we get into those, do you have any questions or topics that you're itching to talk about?
Not at this time. I'm just trying to concentrate on answering your questions.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, don't be. That's okay.
So, like I said, I told you this is only my like fourth interview, so I'm not quite used to this yet, and it still makes me a little nervous.
Well, I gotta say, you're doing very well.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, some of the people who I chat with, usually it ends up being when I'm just talking by myself on here, I notice there are a lot of things that require my editing. And in listening to us have this conversation, I hear very little of that from you, and any that exists tends to be on my end. So that's a good thing.
Sorry, am I not giving you enough to talk about yourself? I'm sorry.
No, it's a fantastic thing because usually there's a lot of vocal placeholders that require removal.
Yeah.
And I'm the one generating those, which is good. It's good because you're on the mark.
Well, thank you. Well, I find my responses tend to go with the interviewer. You make me feel very comfortable and you lead the questions quite well, so it makes it easy.
So I gotta say, you're the expert here. What advice would you have for someone who wants to, you know, come to a con like Total Con and maybe run a game?
I think that would depend on the kind of game they wanted to run. Make sure that it runs within the time allotted that you wanted, 2, 4, 1 hour, whatever it may be. Pre-gen characters are always a must at a convention, unless you're running something like RPGA or Pathfinder, but that's a totally different beast unto itself. And don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, we have a GM registration form. There's something not there. It's perfectly okay to ask the event director. I find a lot of new people who are running events get nervous. They tend to wonder if their event's going to go off. What I tell people, especially like with role players and stuff, that you have to come here and try. And the first time you may get a couple of players, don't be afraid to pimp yourself out on the floor. Shout out, hey, we have an open game here. There's, you know, seats available. You'd be surprised how often that works. And people walking around looking for a game. And once you become established and people start to know you, it usually gets a lot better from there. You know, some of our industry guests, the first couple of times, they're like, gee, I don't know if, you know, I'm earning my plane ride out here. Yes, you are. We know that sometimes it takes a year or two to become established in your reputation. And once word starts spreading about the quality games that you bring, it's all good from there.
I know in getting ready for the game that my friends and I ran, Daybreak at Hangman's Creek, we playtested that for maybe... we probably went overboard, actually, but I think we playtested for 6-7 months, I guess.
Yeah.
And even with that, I know I was extremely nervous coming to the con about running the game, and you know, like, what if I forget rules, and what if no one comes? Like, I was getting stage fright, is really what I was getting. And I mean, it turned out this time that I didn't need to worry as much. But the big thing with the minis game was, you know, as we were setting up and people were starting to see what was coming out, I noticed more and more people kind of coming over. Oh, is this the Civil War game? Oh, is this American Civil War game that I saw in the brochure? Oh, yeah. Oh, what are you guys doing over here? And what's that building for? And the people just kind of, you know, some would just kind of come and stand back a little, but they were like closely observing what we were doing, and you could tell that the gears were spinning. And as a result of people just kind of coming up, and, you know, like you said, just kind of pimping yourself out there and be like, hey, how are you, or whatever. That's how most of the people ended up coming to play the game. Or, you know, someone joined and said, oh, I got a friend who I got to get to join the game or whatever. And, like, we had to turn people away. We actually had enough interest that we could have run this 2 or 3 separate times.
Yeah, and that is true. I tell that to the minis guys a lot of times. Once you're there and you're set up, I don't know why, but miniature guys, it's eye candy. They absolutely go crazy for it. And if they see you setting up a nice game, they will come over. And we have a lot of people just randomly going by, taking pictures and appreciating what you guys bring, you know. But it's true of board game guys and role players, you know, they all get nervous, and everybody wants to have a good quality event. And once you're there and people start to know you, and like I said, once the reputation gets out, it's all good from there.
That's really good to know. Like, I like to walk around and see all the other games that people are doing. And I always end up feeling a little bad when I see, like, there's empty chairs somewhere. And I like to think, you know, like, as I'm moving on to see what else is going on as I'm, you know, getting the lay of the land, I hope that, you know, someone's coming to sit down and, you know, just fill that chair. And with us, I felt like we wanted it to be a success, not just for ourselves, but we didn't want to let the con down because you guys were nice enough to give us a space to play and run the thing, to provide hopefully some sort of fun for people who were coming to the con. And we didn't want it to be a dud because then someone might be like, oh, there was that crappy game at the Total Con and we're never going back again. And it just, like, yeah, all that kind of stuff was running, you know, through my head.
Oh, no. Well, we've been in it long enough that we know that sometimes it can take more than one try, you know. So it actually disappoints us when people come in just for the one shot, when, especially if we thought that their game was exceptional, you know, and it didn't go as well as they had hoped, because we know over time, usually our GMs that come in over and over again are the ones that get the most players. So anybody out there, have no worries. We like it when you come back and you keep trying, because usually it works, especially if it's a quality game, you know. You're not always going to get the best GM, and if they get weeded out, that's fine. But we actually encourage people to at least give it to two to three years before giving up.
I think we're probably going to come back again next year. Yeah, with a different game, different scenario. So any of you guys listening who either played in or wanted to play in our game, I think next year we might actually do Napoleonics, which will be interesting for me because I am clueless with Napoleonics. So I'll have to take a crash course. But yep. I think we'll be back with another game, because we had a blast running the game. You guys made it very easy, and I mean, there was that one hiccup, but even that wasn't really anything, and we felt bad about that too. But everything worked out really well.
There's a difference between empty tables being held in reserve and our open gaming tables. They just didn't know. But that was their first time there, you know. So we just rolled with it, and they rolled with it, and they actually won best indie game at Total Confusion this year. They did phenomenal. People love their game.
That's fantastic. I saw people lined up in the hall all the time, and there was always someone explaining the game to someone else. I wanted to try it out, and I just didn't have a chance to, but it looked very interesting to me.
Yep, absolutely. I think it was Zepocalypse from Greybriar Games, and it looked really cool. Hull Reach, the card game, also did very well there. And our first official game company, WizKids, was there, and they seemed to do rather well as too. So we were very happy this year with the exhibitors. A lot of good feedback this year.
I know of at least one person, and I think that maybe, I think it's exciting, but I think they may be a little bit crazy. They want to run their own gaming convention here in New England. What advice would you have for them?
I would say watch your timing, as far as, you know, not being too close to another convention. If you can get it 3 to 4 weeks off is good. If you could get it 6 to 8 weeks, it's even better. Get a good hotel that'll work with you. And don't expect a whole lot the first year. Everybody wants to put on a convention and have it to be, you know, ginormous the first year. And unless you're PAX East with with tons of money and, you know, sponsors behind you, that's not going to happen. But it will get better. If you do it and you do it well, the next year it will just continue to increase. And I would encourage networking strongly. Attend other events that hold similar games that you want to run, or if you're into a fandom, go to the fandom cons. You know, networking is key. And if you can go there and put out your flyers, get the word out, don't be afraid to talk to people and GMs and stuff like that. Encourage them to come and try, and players and stuff like that. Visit your local stores, do all that. It's a lot of network building. And once you do that and you put out a good show, the word will grow from there and it will only get better.
This person, I think if they do go through with it, I think they'll have a lot of success. But I think your advice is, I think it's strong and valid advice that works not just for cons, but I think anything you want to run or anything you want to be involved with, a lot of that, I think it fits, and just stuff you have to do.
Yeah, well, for me personally, like I said, I wasn't a super huge gamer. I do play games. My house is filled with them just because I marry a gamer, you know? But that's what I did. I spent a good year walking around at other conventions, seeing what I liked, what I didn't like, what I would like to improve, how they did what they did, how they advertised. And I like to say that I am just what I feel is the best of the other conventions. You know, I saw what I liked, and like I said, and tried to incorporate that in my own style. It seems to have worked so far. Let's knock on wood. You know, since I've taken over in the PR department, we've had close to 20% growth the last like 4 to 5 years.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but it took time. You know, I really learned. I put the effort into being informed. Don't just, you know, start it out of the blue. If you're informed and you start networking and you see, I discovered what I thought was a niche missing in the New England community, and for it, you know, I pitched my idea and it worked. So if you can find something that's going to make your convention unique, people will come. And if you run a quality event, people will show up, and it will only improve from there.
We've been talking for about an hour, and if there's nothing else that you'd like to talk about, I'm happy to call the interview to a close.
Okay.
I want to thank you, because you've been very supportive of the podcast over the years, and I think probably as a result of your support that TotalCon's been very supportive. I appreciate the passes that you've given so that we can do the contest that we had, and the t-shirts and everything. I know people have really responded well to that, and I love talking about TotalCon and promoting it and just saying how happy I've been going to it and everything. But I really appreciate the support that you give, not only to us, but the support that you guys give to the local community. As you said, the community really is a big thing, and it's probably the most important thing, because without the community, everyone just kind of falls apart.
It does, and then they just stand alone, and people don't enjoy themselves as much, you know. And working together is absolutely key, you know. We have an excellent community out here, and there's no reason why people can't work together, you know. It's been a pleasure for me, and it's only gotten better over the years.
So before we go, I'm started doing a new thing, which I wish I had done ages ago, and I'm actually kicking myself that I've never done it before. You know how they do on the radio? They have, like, say, I don't know, Aerosmith on, and then all the guys from Aerosmith are like, hey, you're listening to, you know, BCN or whatever. So
yep.
I've started asking guests, and by started, I mean you will be the first. so, I mean, you're making history right now, but I asked the guests if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself, what you do, and say you're listening to Wargaming Recon.
Hi, this is Angela Hiru, Media Director for Total Confusion, and you are listening to Wargaming Recon.
That was fantastic. So I just want to thank you again for taking the time to be on the show. I know you have a very busy schedule between work and your children and everything. And then the con just ended not very long ago, so you're probably still a little fatigued from that. So I appreciate that.
Oh, not a problem. It's been a very good pleasure. I've enjoyed getting to know you a little bit better. Finally.
I've been eager to find a way to chat with you, and hey, this did the trick.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks again. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.